Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
Joe Biden is going to go to a fundraiser. He's going to be with former President Barack Obama. He's going to be with former President Bill Clinton. It's hosted. It's a big, big panel thing. And it's being moderated and hosted by Stephen Colbert. He's a TV star, don't you know? And Donald Trump is going to go to the funeral, the wake of an NYPD officer killed in the line of duty. All things are political. That doesn't make some things right, and it doesn't change how it will be seen. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. 833-GOT-TONY. 833-468-8669. That is the number. 833-GOT-TONY. I don't have any objection to fundraisers. I have no objection to the President of the United States doing a fundraiser. Biden's fundraiser got him $25 million. That's the reporting. $25 million. Now, I don't have any issue with Stephen Colbert doing the thing. I don't have any issue with him moderating this conversation at all. I only have issue with the idea that he's not funny. He's angry. He's not funny. There's a difference. For example, the event is hosted by Mindy Kaling. Mindy Kaling is funny. I'm actually sorry she's on that side of the aisle. Queen Latifah's going to perform. Lizzo is going to perform. You really want Lizzo performing? Okay. Lea Michele. You might not know who Lea Michele is. Lea Michele was the star of Glee. I don't know. Maybe you know, maybe you don't. It's quite all right. That's who she is. And so she's performing. None of it bothers me. I don't think it should bother anybody. Go ahead, have your fundraiser. A photo with all three is $100,000. If you donate $250,000. You get access to one of the receptions. $500,000 gets into a more exclusive gathering. But it's not done. Oh, no, no. The party is not done there. Jill Biden, she's the first lady. I'm sorry, Dr. Jill Biden. And DJ D-Nice are having an after party at Radio City Music Hall with 500 guests. You could say what you will about the political left. They understand how to put together an event. No shame. Put it all together. They know how to do it. It's a lineup. Now, Lea Michele is not A-list. I don't know if Lizzo is A-list anymore. Queen Latifah is still A-list. But Colbert is. Mindy Kaling, not necessarily, but that's all right. Big event, a lot of money. Money matters. They're going to need the money. They're going to need the money for whoever the Democrat is running against Donald Trump. I'll get to that because this RFK thing has got Democrats in a tailspin. I will get to that conversation, I promise. That's what Joe Biden is doing in New York. Donald Trump is going to a wake. He will attend the wake for a fallen officer of the NYPD. Officer Jonathan Diller was killed Monday, shot in Queens, approached an illegally parked car. The wake will take place on Long Island in Massapequa. Now, Trump put on Truth Social, quote, to Officer Diller's family and all the other brave men and women of law enforcement who put your lives on the line every day. We love you, we appreciate you, and we will always stand with you. Now, Trump was already in New York. He had a hearing, that he had to deal with. Then he's going to attend the event. All politics are politics. All politics are local. All is fair, and everything's a stunt. Sure it is. Sure it is. You need Obama and Clinton to make Biden look good and relevant and have a reason for people to show up. You needed a star-studded lineup to get people to show up and give money. It should be enough, based on media coverage, to say, if you don't give me your money, Trump will be the next president, and he's going to kill your meemaw. Like, that would be the ad that the Democrats would run. That's all they have to say. People write their checks. No. You need Obama. You need Clinton. You need star power. You need singing. You need canapes. You need the whole thing to raise the money. But they're going to raise the money. Politics needs money. That's how you run. That's how you win. $25 million, this is the real deal. That's what Biden is buying with this. He's buying the opportunity to campaign. Trump is going to show up with a fallen soldier and engage more goodwill than Biden. Well, Tony, can't you see what a stunt it is? Let's call it a stunt. Go ahead. Let's call it a stunt. Here's the question. Now what? Now what? First, you would have to prove that it's a stunt. You would have to prove that somehow that Trump has always hated police and now all of a sudden he wants to show up. By the way, is the family welcoming him in with open arms? We appreciate him being there. We appreciate that he'll take the time to attend. We appreciate that he remembers our father, our brother, our husband, our nephew, whatever the case may be. This isn't seemingly a conversation of, oh, we don't want him there and he's forcing himself in. Not in the slightest. People are going to look at this and say, you see that? This is a guy who actually cares about the people. And you say to me, but it's a stunt. And I'll say to you, and? You called it a stunt. So? While Biden is rubbing shoulders and rubbing elbows with Lizzo, who sexually abuses her staff. See what I did there? See how easy that was? My gosh. But speaking of sexually abusing their staff, Bill Clinton will be there too. And that, by the way, is called a double entendre. I feel good about that, producer Carl. I'm not going to lie. That is maybe my best. In my career, that might be my best line. Abusing the staff? Really? Just me? Just me? Thank you, producer Carl. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's where Joe Biden's going to be, and here's where Donald Trump's going to be. You cannot deny the politics of the moment. Trump is going to come across the winner in that one. This is dominating the social media feeds. Should it be? Should it be something that dominates news? I would argue no, but that's the fault of Joe Biden. Biden will take an unscheduled campaign stop to go get some ice cream. Biden will go off script to sniff a young child. If Biden ever went off script to go visit a fire station or to be at a funeral where he wasn't looking at his watch, seeing what time it was because they served the pudding only till 5:30, if we could speed this up a little. If he had done that, if he had ever shown that, this wouldn't be so glaring. But it is. It's glaring. A fundraiser happens, and sometimes there could be a funeral taking place that certainly wasn't planned. You didn't know somebody was going to die, someone was going to get killed. You've got this thing, you've got these commitments, and I don't actually hold that against President Biden. I think it's weird to do so. But politics is real. And the observations are real. And the what's the word I'm looking for? When not consequences, when you have expectations. Ah, that's it. Expectations. This is Trump exceeding expectations, and this is Biden saying, I don't even know what expectations are. What's an expectation? This will play very, very well for Donald Trump. And if you say to me, it's gross that something like this would play well, all right, we can agree about that. It doesn't change anything. It's gross to attend a fundraiser with Lizzo and Bill Clinton instead of checking in on police officers in New York. That's just it. That's just it. So get ready. For more on this, get ready for all of the responses to this, because this is going to dominate social media. The pictures, the side-by-sides, all of it. But there's no doubt that our thoughts should be with this family in New York. Our thoughts should be with this police officer's family, this man who was killed doing his job. And there's no doubt that all is fair in love and politics, and Trump will benefit from this greatly. I'm Tony Katz. Sam Bankman-Fried gets 25 years. It's not enough. I don't know. Maybe I should just be thankful that the founder of FTX, this scam nonsense crypto machine that he built, the lying, the taking people's money and putting it into his own business and then making risky investments and then losing people's money and then trying to just escape off to the Bahamas. Maybe I'm just thankful that he's actually going to go to jail. 25 years. Prosecutors wanted 40 to 50 years. That is nuts. Absolutely nuts. Should have been more. Oh, what a scumbag. Good Lord. They built something really beautiful and I threw it all away, Bankman-Fried said. This talking about his co-workers at FTX. It haunts me every day. It's been excruciating to watch this all unfold. Customers don't deserve this level of pain. Well, yeah, you're going to jail. And again, I want to say for the record, it's not long enough. Good gosh, this all just got announced. Meanwhile, the Dow is up 20 and NASDAQ is down 20. Well, it's pretty even. Doesn't normally work like that. They're expecting what happened in Baltimore with this bridge collapse being hit by this cargo ship, the Dalib, which is flagged out of Singapore. They expect this to be possibly the largest ever marine insurance payout. I wonder how big it's going to be. Some of the analysis right now where the analysts are, the losses could total between $2 and $4 billion. So now I must wonder a couple of things, right? You have the ship. It turns out that when the ship was in dock in Chile, it did not pass a test for its propulsion system. While it was at dock in Baltimore, it had known electrical issues. They took the ship out anyway. There's a lot of questions there. You still have the ship sitting there because you've got part of the bridge on it, this massive, heavy bridge. You have a multiplicity of containers. I mean, this thing carries hundreds, if not thousands, of containers with hazardous materials on it. So they're trying to be careful with that. This ship clearly lost power twice. We've all watched the video. We can all say, all right, something happened with the power and the entire bridge collapses. So there's going to be questions about, well, you should have had guardrails around the supports. Well, we don't have to pay out as much because you were at fault for not having a safe environment. I don't know what the payout's going to be. What I know is that as long as the port is closed, we are all dealing with economic issues. Very, very large economic issues. You realize that cars that are made, let's say, in the Midwest, where we are, they go through the port of Baltimore. They go through the port at Baltimore before being shipped out other places. Where are those cars going now? That's the question. Where are they going now? And the answer is nowhere. The shippers, the people in this world, are now making a claim of force majeure where they're saying, look, it was an act of God. The bridge is down. We can't get you these things on time. We're going to drop it off where we can. You figure it out. Have a nice day. Bye. Also, we're keeping the money. Whatever it is that we charged you, yeah, we're keeping that. No. It's not in any way, shape, or form our responsibility, and we don't care. Bye. Oh, yeah. The economic fallout of this isn't going to just be a week. It's going to be years, right? Oh, it's going to change a lot of things. First, you've got the Houthi rebels changing traffic flows in the Mediterranean and the Red Sea because the United States can't figure out how to put these people on a shelf. The Houthi rebels, backed by Iran, seem to think they're in charge of the waters, and it turns out we're kind of letting them be. And now this. Oh, years. And we won't see it as some big hit. We'll see it in the little things. We will see it in the little things. We'll see it in cost increases. We'll see it in a lack of items on a shelf. We'll see it in closed businesses because they can't get their product. That's how we'll see it. And it will remain as the standard. There's a argument. Is argument the right word? That one of the things that COVID has done is reset the expectation of prices. All the supply chain issues of COVID, well, prices have come back down, but not to where they were. There's a new standard of price. And people are very, very bothered by this. Well, you can change that by not buying that thing. You don't buy that thing. Don't buy that thing and you won't have that issue. I mean, that's just true. Don't buy that thing, you won't have that issue. But it is kind of interesting to note, and one should wonder whether they could look at this in their own lives and be like, well, it used to be this price, and now it's this price. This is the new standard. This is the, wait, what do they call it? The new normal? Oh, it makes me sick too. Well, now this creates a new normal. Doesn't matter what the insurance payout is. We will pay the price. We're going to pay the price. Everything, the car that you drive, the things that you buy, those prices are going up. And there'll be less places to buy the things that you buy because some of those places are going to close because, after all, they can't get their goods. And the longer it takes to clear out the debris, the longer the more dynamic the issue will be in the months and years ahead. I understand that you're recovering bodies. They've recovered two of these construction workers. Oh, feel for their families for sure. But eventually, sooner rather than later, I'm talking about this week, you got to move the bridge debris and you got to reopen the port because right now all the boats are blocked. Got to make the change. Got to clear it out. You got to get back to business because that's what life requires. This is Tony Katz today.
Obama and President Clinton strongly support President Biden's leadership and obviously his agenda. All three have agree overwhelmingly on the issues that this president has been fighting for the past 3 years.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness President Obama and President Clinton strongly support President Biden. I mean, this is... what a weird thing to say out loud. What else are they going to say? They don't? That is just very weird. Tony Katz today. What's going on? I don't know. Just the idea that you would have to say this to people. Would anybody think that Obama and Biden were and Clinton weren't supporting Biden? Very weird. Very, very weird stuff. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. Fareed Zakaria is a plagiarist. Now, maybe it should be said differently. He has engaged in plagiarism in the past. But as far as I'm concerned, well, that kind of sticks with you. Plagiarism is different than failing to give proper attribution. It's one thing. You missed saying, hey, this person deserves credit. I've written two books. They're not big books, right? I haven't written political books yet. Only because when I start writing a political book, I end up punching myself in the face. I'm like, this is nonsense. I have an issue with my inner voice. I do not believe it translates well to the page. When I am speaking, like I sometimes go in different directions and come back. I understand where I'm going and where I'm coming to. When I write it, I can't do it at all. I can't. It doesn't work. It's like when I try and write characters. I try and write characters when I read other books or I read other things, I'm like, who talks this way? Nobody talks this way. And so I start doing characters. I'm like, nobody talks like this. And then I just set the thing on fire. I have three or four times in my life have tried to write a book. And it's like, nope. I should take all that, put it together, and just put, here are my efforts. That should be the book. Here. Gave it my best shot. $42.99 at Amazon. I wouldn't sell for $42.99. It would be, for you, it would be deeply discounted. But I wrote two books. I wrote Let's Go Barbecue and I wrote Let's Go Bourbon. They're available at Amazon.com. Part of Eat, Drink, Smoke, my cigar and bourbon show with my co-host Fingers Malloy. And we wrote the books. I did everything I could to ensure I cited and gave thanks to all the places we looked for information. I think in the bourbon book, I don't remember if I did in the barbecue book, we put, if we missed something, let us know. We'll republish the book. I'm so freaked out by the idea of not giving someone their due. It's like in this idea of writing a book. Tony, why don't you just get a ghostwriter? And you just have the ideas and then they'll write the book. I'm freaked out about the idea of a ghostwriter. Why not just say Tony Katz with whoever the person is? My ego's not that big. My ego's plenty. But my ego ain't that big. I'll give them credit. Doesn't bother me any. So it's this idea freaks me out. So when I see the idea of misattribution, it's like, man, it sucks that you missed it. It sucks that you didn't get it in there. Plagiarism, that's Claudine Gay kind of stuff. And Claudine Gay is a plagiarist. Claudine Gay is terrible. She shouldn't have just lost the presidency. She should have been fired from Harvard. But she wasn't. She gets to keep her $900,000 a year salary. That's crazy talk as far as I'm concerned. Fareed Zakaria still has a career. If I did it, I don't think they would allow me to have a career. But Fareed Zakaria is a plagiarist. And Fareed Zakaria is on Stephen Colbert's show, late night show. And by the way, we'll get more into anytime I mention Colbert, I cringe. Not as bad as Seth Meyers. Oy. He's talking about the economy. It's a big conversation about the economy. And this is what Fareed Zakaria says.
Looking at the rest of the globe, how does our economy stack against the major industrialized nations right now?
We are doing much better than any of the other major economies in the world. To give you a simple number, in 2008, the Eurozone, Europe basically, and the U.S. economies were the same size. Today, the U.S. economy is twice the size of the Eurozone economy. If Britain were to join the United States as the 51st state, it would be the poorest state in the Union, below Mississippi. So we're doing amazingly, but what has happened is...
Hold on a second. The idea that we're doing better than Europe does not mean we're doing amazingly. Doesn't mean we're doing amazing. It doesn't mean we're doing great. Doesn't mean we're doing well. Doesn't mean we're doing okay. Doesn't mean we're doing average. Doesn't mean any of those things, because that is not a standard. How is the nation doing economically is based on the numbers. And the numbers say inflation is back. And it costs more to build the products. That's what the numbers say. The numbers say that the 30-year fixed mortgage is up, and therefore home buying is down. According to Bankrate, the 30-year fixed mortgage, by the way, they're not a sponsor of the show. If anybody wants to sponsor the mortgage rates, sponsorship's now available, is 6.96 is the national average, which means 7%. But earlier this month, they were 6.87. So mortgage rates are now back up, which means house buying is going to go down. We do not base ourselves and our economy, where we are, based on the idea of amazing, based on where Europe is. We may be doing better than Europe, but that doesn't mean we're doing amazing. And this is where Fareed Zakaria is making a horrific, horrific mistake. But he's doing it purposefully, just like all these people who want to tell you that everything is fine and you're just being ridiculous for not noting it's fine. It's not fine. It's not great. Now, I have no interest in being like Europe. But for years, I was told by the left that you only want to be like Europe. Well, let's talk about something that Europe is doing right. Europe is recognizing that it is wrong to mutilate children. The United Kingdom has said no to puberty blockers. We do not prescribe puberty blockers. Why? Because this idea that puberty blockers are reversible is a lie. And all those TikTok losers and freaks who wanted to tell kids that it was totally reversible are liars and frauds. You can quote me. Puberty blockers are not reversible. Puberty blockers are meant to forestall puberty. Without puberty, you have serious issues with bones and bone density and hormones and a whole host of things. The proper development into adulthood without going through puberty. So the idea that someone could take puberty blockers for a year and then say, okay, I don't want this, and it's all fine, it's not all fine. That is a lie told by people desperate to abuse children. What? I'm saying it as it is. They are abusers. France has now taken to looking at sex change surgeries for minors and have said nope. French senators, as reported, legalinsurrection.com with the reporting, want to ban gender transition treatments for under 18-year-olds after a report describes sex reassignment surgery in minors as potentially, and I'm quoting here, one of the greatest ethical scandals in the history of medicine. That is true. That is factual. allow me to say as clear as I can, the people who support gender-affirming care are the abusers. I will take on anyone on this subject. We are through the looking glass. We have the data. We have it. This is abusing children. This is harming children for the political and destructive desires of adults. By the way, this whole conversation of gender identity and fluidness, isn't this how the Roman Empire ended? I don't claim to have an expertise there. But isn't this how the Roman Empire ended? Men are not women and women are not men, and that's the way it is. Boys are not girls and girls are not boys, and that's the way it is. It's the way it is. And we all have to be okay with this. And children getting abused is something we should wholeheartedly avoid. We should fight back against. And you see now the UK and France doing just that. So why can't we be more like Europe? But Fareed Zakaria goes into a part two. And his part two could possibly be seen as interesting.
So we're doing amazingly, but what has happened is, you know, even so people for a while said, well, we don't realize it, we're feeling the inflation. Well, for the last 18 months, consumer sentiment has been going up, but Biden's approval ratings still flatline. And what's really happened is our political identities are no longer shaped by economics, as it used to be for so many years. They're shaped by culture, by class, by religion, by all these tribal identities. And that was part of the reason I wrote the book, because I realized this began with Obama. There used to be the tightest connection in predictive polling, mm-hmm. which was, you know, your view of the economy, president's approval rating, always roughly the same. Now, I mean, under Obama, the stock market tripled under Obama. His approval ratings didn't move much.
It's an interesting observation. We should ask ourselves if we could see some legitimacy within it on an anecdotal level. He is not making the argument, or if he is making the argument that the economy is doing better, well, then he's just a fool. It's not doing better. But if he's making the argument that the economy doesn't move the voter the way it used to, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Take a look at what we talk about. If we talked about the political left, what really, really moves the voter on the political left? What is the subject that moves the politically left voter? I hear you. It's abortion. The market up, the market down wouldn't have any effect. Inflation up, inflation down doesn't change the fact that you taught a generation, two generations of leftists that abortion is religion. That's what you taught them. Abortion is religion, and without it, we will all perish. So therefore, it is the most important thing in the world. Nothing else comes close. Nothing comes close. They wouldn't care what happened with the economy. Ask people on the political right. What is the subject that moves you most? Now, on the political right, we would naturally think that people would move to ideas of the economy. That's how we think. But would we disagree that it is very possible, and we've seen polls that have done this, that show that the thing that moves the political right most is the border. The border is what's moving people the most. When they rank these things, the border, immigration comes up first. Not in every poll, but in some. So this idea that we are not connected as we used to be with the economy being the thing that moves us, well, that's an interesting take. that we may very well be people now who see things in a different way, things that more move us. And one could argue that is indeed tribal. But one should argue that would go in both directions. But the abortion conversation being the most prime example of it. But anybody who tells you that this economy is going well, that's just not in any way factual. That is not true. And to compare us to Europe does not do anything except confuse the issue purposefully. Your pocketbook knows. It hasn't lied to you yet. I'm Tony Katz. We haven't talked about Fonnie Willis. Because the Trump team is still trying to say, sorry, she shouldn't be on this case. This RICO case down in Georgia. So, I have a question. Are we going to see her step away? Because now there are Democrats saying, hey, Fonnie Willis, Fulton County District Attorney, why don't you stop talking? Stop doing interviews where you say everybody loves you and all these black women think that you are an inspiration. I don't have to apologize for anything I've done. I'm proud of me. Why don't you stop talking? Democrats are now saying this. Because they realize that they don't have somebody who is, good at this, running this case. I'll be curious if the Trump team can actually move her out. This is Tony Katz today.